Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Rick, 11:30 CMT, yes?
Yeah, fun CMT. Friday edition.
Sound and everything.
Of course there's sound. I mean, it wouldn't be a segment without the sound.
That's right.
I got bigger issues, though. I got bigger issues.
What's wrong?
I just went downstairs.
With the segment?
No, not with the segment. Segment's great. Beautiful.
Okay.
Cass and I put it together yesterday. She helped out. Partnership. True love. Soulmate. That's what I'm talking about. It's this chipmunk. He's not mocking me.
As we're doing the show, he's giving you issues?
It's almost like he's listening to... I went down for a drink, and the thing is back in the planter eating my carrots. This chip has nothing to lose. This chipmunk clearly, I mean, is...
So
I don't know what I'm going to do about this thing.
Ultimate game plan here to eliminate the chipmunk?
I haven't figured... This is almost going to be like a Carl Spackler situation.
Oh, because that played out well.
I have to go with some plastic explosive, maybe.
Great.
Just blow up the backyard.
Wow.
Oh, God.
But sir, if I kill all the golfers... No, I said gopher, you
golfers!
Idiot.
For some reason, I envision that game that you play at the carnival where you have the different gophers popping out of the different holes.
Yep.
Yeah, the whack-a-mole.
I feel like that's what Rick is going to be doing this weekend with the chipmunk.
Yeah, Dave calls that a Saturday night.
Here we go. How your inability to maintain and contain the chipmunk becomes a make-fun-of-Dave segment is beyond me.
Well, this isn't just any. You're pretending like you're downplaying this chipmunk. I mean, this is a special chipmunk that clearly has run out of options and has nothing to lose.
It's run out of options. How do you know the backstory of the chipmunk? What are you talking to the therapist?
I can tell. But how it looked me right in the eyes, I could tell this chipmunk has bad intentions.
Are we talking about Alvin, Simon, or Theodore?
I would say as disruptive as it's got to be Alvin with how disruptive this chipmunk is. It's almost
the most delightful chipmunk there is.
Yeah, but it's almost like Alvin, Simon, and Theodore had a super baby, and that's what I'm dealing with right now.
Okay.
Oh boy. All right. So I don't even know how we transition this. The NBA. We're back, guys. July 31st, the games are going to start. Now, here's how it's going to work for everybody that's kind of been watching it but doesn't exactly understand. 13 Western Conference teams. 9 Eastern Conference teams are going to play for seeding for the postseason with a possible play-in for the 8th seed. The top 16 teams in the East and Western Conferences will be joined by the 6 games of the 8th place in the conferences. All right, so they're going to play 8 games. New Orleans, Portland, San Antonio, Sacramento, Phoenix, and Washington. The play-in tournament is going to include the 8 and 9 teams in the conference if the 9th seed finishes the regular season within 4 games of the 8th seed. Now, if the case is that the 9th seed would need to beat the 8th seed twice to earn the playoff berth, while the 8th seed would need to only win 1 of a potential 3 games to win this thing. So you have the advantage if you're the 8th seed. But I guess the question is, just making sure we understand, and Adam Silver, we'll hear from him in a moment, he was on NBA on TNT last night. The only team that can do anything in the East is Washington. Is the only team eligible to right Eastern Conference team outside of the top 8 that's going to be involved in this at all?
Correct.
Okay.
And they're 5.5 games back of Orlando.
So I promised that I wasn't going to come down on a league for being creative and figuring out a way. But in theory, it really is somewhat unfair for the Eastern Conference, right?
What do you mean?
I don't think those teams. I don't think the teams that we're talking about not participating, Dave, really much care.
I don't mean that. I don't mean the teams that aren't in. I'm just saying, like, it's the Western Conference has 5 teams fighting for this 9th spot, right?
Yes.
So you have real competition to get there. There's only one team. So if Washington's bad, then the 8th seed just has their way into the postseason.
Goes to Orlando, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Whereas in the Western Conference, if one of the 5 teams gets hot, they're probably going to pull within 4 games and compete in a little mini tournament.
Well, Dave, I mean, they've earned that, though. I mean, this somewhat feels like a meritocracy when you start talking about the playoff field and wanting to be fair to everybody involved. I mean, the teams that you're going to have involved are legitimate teams. I mean, nobody thinks that Charlotte is going to go on a run or Chicago is going to go on a run. So I think everybody can understand why those teams wouldn't be included. I don't have a problem with it.
I don't care. I'm just San Antonio's not going on a run.
No, San Antonio's not going on a run, Dave. But
and
San
Sacramento's not going on a run.
No, but those teams are right there in striking distance with Memphis, the 8th seed. You're talking about San Antonio having 27 wins, Sacramento having 28, and Memphis having 32. They're right there. I mean, whereas you're looking at Orlando with 30 wins, and Charlotte has 23, and Chicago has 22, and the Knicks we know have 21. So there's the discrepancy in terms of what their record says they are, the overall competitiveness of the teams that are going to be involved. The Western Conference teams that are being included in this are competitive teams. They're right there.
And they serve a purpose. I mean, they're going to play this off because, I mean, these teams deserve an opportunity to compete for a playoff spot, when in actuality they probably don't.
Zion.
If you wanted this to be as safe as you
can. They want to try and get Zion into the postseason.
Not only Zion, but they want to make more money playing regular season games. They don't want to jump right into the playoffs because they want the guys to actually, you know, be up to speed when they get to the playoffs. And also, playing regular season games means more money for the NBA.
Did I read that right? That playing those 2 weeks of regular season games equates to like $300 million?
Yep. Yes, you did. $300 million.
That is unbelievable.
So this is interesting. So this is how it's actually going to play out in Orlando starting on July 31. Regular season extends 16 days with 5 to 6 games per day. There's going to be 4 hours between games on each individual court to accommodate overtimes, cleanings, and warm-ups. The league will be using 3 courts in the complex for games. In the 8-game regular season format, each team is expected to play 1 back-to-back. So that means you wouldn't play back-to-back games. What do you mean back-to-back days, right?
Back-to-back days, dude.
Yeah, back-to-back days. Yeah, I mean,
this is an AAU tournament.
How great would that be? Oh, my God. All right, NBA is expected to be aggressive in moving up the dates to start playoff series when the previous round series come to an end. And the NBA Finals format is expected to include games every other day. So that's the way it's going to break out down in Orlando.
I actually like that, though. The NBA Finals being every other day as opposed to stretching it out. I feel like the NBA Finals usually takes like 2 weeks.
Yeah, the 2 days off is horrendous.
Yeah, it's too much. But every other day, I like that. I'm excited for it, man. We got to have live team sports come back. And with NHL and NBA solidifying their plans, and I know the NBA is just waiting on the Players Association to put the rubber stamp on it, but I feel good about it, man. I'm glad that we know that in a couple of months, we're going to have live team sports back.
Yeah, not even a couple, right? I mean, less than 2 months, we're going to have the NBA back. And training camps start in a little more than a month down in Orlando, July 9th to 11th, depending on the team.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll have golf next weekend.
Season, right. And the next season will start early December.
It's supposed to be December 1st, which I think is going to have to be pushed back.
Yeah, they should push it back, right? Union, push it back.
Yeah, I don't think the union's going to go for that.
I mean, if you had a game 7, we 12th?
The 12th, October 12th.
And then the season would start December 1?
Well, training camp would start, I mean, almost less than a month.
Right.
From the time you had your game 7.
I mean, I really think that Christmas Day would be the ideal to start the next year.
Yeah, but I mean, you're trying to, I mean,
push it back. Nobody really starts paying attention to the NBA until the All-Star break anyway. So just push it back. Push it back to December, push it back to Christmas, and roll from there. We'll have more than enough NFL to keep us entertained.
You could have the undefeated Knicks on Christmas Day.
So you're saying we got a chance, yes.
You're saying
at least you could actually go to the game and feel good about your team at that point.
That's right. At least there's that hope of opening day of who knows what will possibly happen. All right, Adam Silver was on the NBA on TNT last night. He says the new NBA format of all the options really was the fairest one.
Ultimately, we concluded the fairest way to do this would be to take the 16 teams that, as of March 11th, would have qualified 8 in the West, 8 in the East for the playoffs, but then to take what we're calling the 6 other bubble teams, and that is, and it turns out it's 5 teams in the West and 1 team in the East, and those are the teams that were within 6 games of the 8th seed. And then we would begin playing by having what we're calling seeding games, and that is games to determine who ultimately should be the top 8 in the West and the top 8 in the East. And it will also give the players an opportunity after training camp to play not quite regular season games, but meaningful games before they go right into the playoffs.
So, yeah, I mean, teams at least, you know, the better teams get their feet wet and they get to work on their game and their conditioning and all that stuff. And then you get the Portland, New Orleans, Sacramento, and the Spurs will be very much involved. Phoenix as well, right, is involved?
Yes, Phoenix is involved, yeah.
So Phoenix, San Antonio, Sacramento, New Orleans, and Portland, and they're all chasing Ja Morant and Memphis, who's 32 and 33. And all you have to do is get within four games. So right now Portland is there. New Orleans is there. Sacramento is there. So unless, I mean, realistically, guys, unless Memphis is wildly successful over an eight-game run, it's hard to envision in the Western Conference you won't have that little play-in, right, one-game or two-game or three-game series.
Which is exactly what you want. I think it's two-game series, right?
Right, I guess you could go to two, right? Right, the ninth seed has to win two, right.
Yeah, I'd be interested, though, how did we any more information on how it works if you have two teams with the same record?
They're tied?
Tied for ninth? Do they have a play-in?
Well, now what happens, because teams aren't going to play the same amount of games, right? Because they haven't played the same amount of games now. So what happens? No, but I'm not saying that. I'm saying for the entire season, you won't wind up playing the same amount of games as other teams because everyone's going to play eight now. So what happens if your winning percentage is better, but your wins are lesser? How does that work?
That's a great question. I don't know if we have the answer to that.
I'm with you on that one, Dave. If you're not playing the same amount of games, then it should come down to winning percentage. Right?
I would think.
Yeah.
That's how it's working, and that's how the NHL is going to work. If there's a tie with that round robin in the first four teams, if there's a tie, the tiebreaker is going to be point percentage.
Winning percentage? Right.
Yeah, point percentage, yeah.
What's going to happen with the other eight teams that are not participating in this, though?
It's going to hang up with basketball.
Like, you're talking about them going 9 months without playing basketball?
Well, they last played, what, early March, and they'll play again in December. So yes.
March 11th at shutdown, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
Very refreshed by the time the season comes around.
Don't they have to figure out something with that, too? I know they were talking about, like, some summer league possibilities and allowing them to get together, but they got to do something. Because, I mean, that puts you at a competitive disadvantage not playing basketball for that long when you have the other 22 teams involved in this restart.
You're at a tremendous disadvantage.
I don't know, just a thought.
And you're not one of the better teams to begin with.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But how about
like
the disparity,
for a team like the
guys?
Knicks,
you're going to have teams that haven't played since March, and then you're going to have teams that potentially play into mid-October.
Exactly.
That are then going to get ready to play right now, early December.
Yeah, exactly. And when you look at a young team like the Knicks, I mean, you would want to try to get those guys to play as much as they can, right?
Yeah, but do you think guys are going to sign on for a summer league or just let's get together and play?
I mean, even if they decide they're going to go that route, that's something completely different than what the rest of the NBA is going to be engaged in at the end of July and the beginning of August. That's going to be a much more competitive brand of basketball. So, I mean, I think from a development standpoint, that puts you a little bit behind. And for a team like the Knicks that has young players that you're trying to develop and that's probably not going to have a top lottery pick, you would be a little concerned about that. I feel like there's a little bit of a competitive disadvantage.
I think there clearly is. You're not going to have a basketball game for 9 months.
Yeah, but there's still a bunch of things that need to be figured out, too. I mean, it's like, well, when next season is going to start. I mean, they say December 1st because, I mean, there are some reasons why you're trying to get that season going and try to get the old, you know, all 82 in. I mean, you have the Summer Olympics you're going up against. You know, you'd like to get the season over before that. You know what I'm saying? So there's a bunch of other things that need to be figured out.
Now, here's a question for you. If you go 0-8, you're just awful. You can't move into the lottery, right? Like, if your record becomes worse than one of the team's winning percentages that's currently
frozen
in the lottery. So it's frozen.
It's frozen.
Mm-hmm. So if you're one of those eight teams, you're locked in with a better chance than anybody that's going to play games moving forward now.
Yes.
Okay. A lot of questions here.
A lot of questions here.
All right, more from Adam Silver now. Obviously, we talk about the 9 and the 13 seeds and the you know, two-game potentially being played between the 8 and the 9 teams. But we're kind of missing COVID and what happens if somebody tests positive. Here is the commissioner and what What would happen if a player tests positive down in this Orlando bubble?
The answer is we don't believe we would need to. You know, we've been dealing with a group of our experts plus public health authorities down in Florida now. And the view is that if we were testing every day and we're able to trace, in essence, the contacts that player has had, we're able to, in essence, contain that player, you know, and separate him from his team, and we're continuing to test every day. The belief is we would not have to shut down if a single player tested positive.
All right. Well, that's good, because you got to figure with that amount of mass humanity really down in one area that there's a good chance you're going to have somebody test positive for COVID at some point.
No, you're right, Dave, but Adam Silver talked about the tracing and checking and testing the colleagues that player that tested positive has been in proximity with. But my only question is, do you stop gameplay because of concerns that those people, that player that tested positive, the people that guy has been around, do you stop gameplay and try to mitigate the risk of members of that team potentially affecting another team? That's the question that I have.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the answer for you. Might. And I guess it depends how many guys test positive, right? If it's one guy, do you maybe just isolate him and continue with the games? Or do you have to now start shutting down games?
Well, I mean, I know they're going to isolate the guy that tests positive, but if you're going to track him and trace all the people that he's been around, what happens if he's been around his teammates? I mean, what do you do? Do you run the risk of those guys going out there and playing?
The way I understand it, and this is what they're going to do in the NHL, so I would imagine they've been in conversations with each other, is that each player is going to get tested at night, and you'll have the result the next morning before you are able to go back to the facility or not.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Which makes sense. And
if
it's
still a good question. I mean, if one
no, it's a good question,
positive,
but you can't
do.
Yeah, but okay, you keep asking that question. They're not going to restart any of the leagues if one person tests positive. They're going to have to shut it down. I mean, we've been saying that for months. Until you get to a point where you can isolate that guy and continue to play, that's the only way you bring these leagues back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you test these guys every single day, and every person going into, you can't call it a bubble, into the campus, is tested before they're allowed into the campus. But that's why they're reporting to Orlando for, you know, 3 weeks before the season is going to start.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if someone does test positive early on, they'll have the appropriate amount of time to get through it. Now, you know what I'm saying? If someone comes down there for training camp, it doesn't matter how many guys get through it. You got 3 weeks.
Yeah, but what happens if four guys on a team test positive?
Then those four guys will be isolated. Those four guys will have to battle through COVID-19. We'll get tested, and once they're negative, they can resume play.
The plan that you're outlining, the protocol that you're outlining, Rick, makes a whole lot of sense. Like, you test them at night, you have the results before you leave your room the next morning, and you know whether or not you're being isolated or whether or not you're able to go into the campus and participate in activities. That actually makes sense. I was just wondering, from a pragmatic standpoint, like how they were going to implement those protocols and make sure that they could keep everybody safe.
I think the best way to keep people safe, and again, you're putting a lot of trust in the people that are involved with putting games on, playing the games and everything else. Like, all the essential people that are going to be in Orlando, it's going to be, we test you before we get you into the campus, and then you're negative, so you're allowed in. And now, hopefully, because it's, you know, in that bubble, is that everyone in that bubble is negative. So unless someone leaves the bubble and catches it and brings it back in, that would be how it would spread.
Listen,
and you are allowed to leave the bubble, right?
I don't know if you're – I know they're going to go down. They're going to go down with just the essential people needed. And then I mm-hmm. think at a certain point – I think it's before the playoffs, families will be allowed into the bubble if they test negative, yeah.
Yeah. Listen, man,
it's
I'm
sketchy.
Praying.
Listen, it's risky.
I'm praying that it works, though, Rick.
Involved.
I'm praying that it works.
We all are.
You know, because we need team sports to come back. But beyond that, man, if the NHL and the NBA don't have successful returns and this COVID thing continues to be mm-hmm. a problem, then
it
there's no
well
chance
the
that the NFL season is going to start on time. No shot.
That's right.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. See, I look at it as the opposite. I mean, if I'm being in all sincerity, I think there's a real strong possibility the way they're going to do this, you know, putting these teams in, you know, isolated situations where they're testing every single night, and you're going to rely on that they stay in, you know, in the bubble. What concerns me more is baseball. Like, when baseball eventually comes back, hopefully it comes back, having these teams play in their own stadiums, it's not as simple as, okay, you know, I just played a game in Orlando, so I'm going to now walk back to the hotel or walk around the park, and everyone in the park has already been tested, so I know I'm fine. I mean, how many guys that are playing baseball are going to go from Yankee Stadium or Citi Field straight back to their apartments? Are they going to go get dinner? Are they going to go pick up dinner? Are they going to go grocery shopping? Because not everyone around you has been tested. That would scare me more. I think if it's going to happen, it would be more likely to have something spread in baseball than it would be the NBA or the NHL with the situations.
I would agree with that.
Well, I don't even know if baseball is going to play, though. That's the thing. I haven't even let my mind go to exploring the possibilities of how they're going to pull off a baseball season, just because it seems like the two sides are so far apart when it comes to the business of the sport. I'm going to be honest with you. I hadn't even thought about baseball beyond the bickering that's been happening between the owners and the players.
Well, hopefully this is something that we do have to discuss.
Wouldn't that concern you more, though?
Cities, and what do we do?
In all honesty, wouldn't that concern you more, though?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
I mean, at least with the NHL and NBA. NHL's going to be locked away. NHL's going to be locked away in two separate cities. NBA's going to be locked away in one city. In order to get through, you have to be tested. Major League Baseball, right now, they're discussing that you're free to roam around your city. Of course, that's more concerning.
Yeah, I would probably put baseball right up there with football in terms of level of concern on how they're going to do it, just because of the nature of football. And you're not going to be able to isolate players for the entire season. So you're going to have to create a bubble at the facility. I don't know how that works out. But, yeah, I'm with baseball and football, the logistics of it and being able to execute it, it seems like it's a lot harder, a higher degree of difficulty than what the NHL and what the NBA is proposing.
I mean, if you're Major League Baseball at this point, and you're worried, I mean, you're so worried about the amount of money, and players are only concerned about, like, we're past the whole health and safety thing. Like, it seems like we're past that. The biggest concern now is money. I mean, what's wrong with Texas now? You want to make the most money? Texas just said open air stadiums can have 50% attendance. Why not bring everyone to Texas? I'm sure you can find enough baseball fields in Texas.
Well, think about it.
Trust me,
you
got plenty of baseball fields.
How many professional fields?
Well,
every game will be in Houston. The Astros will wind up with the mass advantage.
Well, no, you got the Texas Rangers.
Of course.
But it's only 50%. I mean, what about, are there any college facilities in Texas?
There are college facilities, but you got just community ballparks, Rick, that are ridiculous in Texas. I mean, high school stadiums, or as far as football goes, look like college stadiums. Like, that's how big sports is in Texas. I'm sure that there are ballparks that are available that can accommodate these Major League Baseball teams comparable to their spring training ballparks. I'm sure that they have those.
Could you have it in a football stadium? 50%. You can set up a baseball field on football stadium.
Yep, sure can.
Oakland does it. You can wind up with 50,000 people or 40,000 people at a game. Right?
Yeah, but if you're going to get creative.
It's not ideal, but it is creative.
The owners want their cake and eat it too. The owners are hoping that they get this thing done and they feel good about the amount of money they're paying the players. And at some point over the next month or two, the states start to open up and they have people in their own stadiums.
That's the hope.
That's what they would
want.
That
would be great.
You can't argue that the safest way to do this is to have half the teams in one spot and half the teams in the other spot.
No, the safest way.
That makes the most sense.
Lock them away. The safest way is to have a biodome where players are just locked away. But it doesn't seem like that's going to happen if baseball returns.
No, it's not. It's definitely not going to happen. It's not like that's definitely not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Do you want to know what people are saying? How you can eliminate the chipmunk from your yard?
I need something. Yeah, at this point, I need something.
I'm told by many on Twitter, and I don't know, this is not me, so if you use it and it doesn't work, I don't want to hear it, that I led you down this path. I'm merely telling you what people are saying. Antifreeze, they say. Antifreeze.
Just straight up antifreeze.
I don't know. I mean, you might want to do a little more research on it.
Yeah, but how does the antifreeze affect my plants? That's the issue. I'm not going to douse my carrots with antifreeze. I'm like, hey, guess what's for dinner?
Well, obviously, you're not going to put the antifreeze on the carrot.
Well, I'd have to put it around. I mean, where? I'm going to put it around.
Yeah, maybe you put it around the garden. Like on the outside of the garden.
Yeah, see, I don't know about that, because now all of a sudden the antifreeze, you know, penetrates the garden, and I feed my kids.
Yeah, I understand.
Milo ends up growing extra things that he does. You know what I mean? That's not what I'm looking to do here.
I don't know if the antifreeze is the solution that you're looking for, bro.
No, I'm going to find it. Listen, this is hand-to-hand combat. This is me versus, this chipmunk has pushed me to the breaking point.
I don't know if that's going to get it done either, but all right.
I don't think this is going to end well for you.
I don't think so either, but I'm willing to risk it. You got to risk it for the biscuit.
All right.
I'm going straight Bruce Arians in this one.
Yeah, but I think you're only looking at how it can end well for you. I don't think you're thinking about how badly it can get for you.
Risk it for the biscuit actually is the chipmunk's mentality.
It's a very healthy chipmunk.
Great point, Sandy.
Really into the carrots.
Of course. You probably can see for miles with all the carrots he's consuming. I would think.
I'm seeing an owl. If I for some reason decide to purchase an owl, the owl will take care of the... Or attract an owl somehow. Well, that apparently will take care
of
the
issue. Here's another tweet coming. The issue. Bucket of water, layer the top with sunflower seeds. Chipmunk jumps in thinking it's just seeds and drowns. Used to do it all the time at the old house I lived at.
Very dark.
I feel like the chipmunk is smarter than that.
Very dark.
Right. Now, if it leads to the death of the chipmunk, are you okay with that, or does that cause issues with you?
I'm not at that point yet. Mm-hmm. I would like to peacefully take
the chipmunk. So you'd like to salvage the life of the chipmunk, relocate
the chipmunk.
Drive him exactly miles away and then let him go.
This chipmunk is having a mojito in my pool right now. Put a few drops of antifreeze on bologna. No, I'm not going to. First of all, I'm not going to waste bologna. Second of all, I don't have antifreeze.
All sorts of dead animals in the back.
Exactly right.
A lot of people advocating chipmunk genocide.
There's going to be a pet cemetery in my backyard. I'm going to have there'll be animals that I wasn't even intending to injure.
That's right.
In this.
Yeah, birds are going to be down.
Bunnies,
raccoons will be there. Bunnies. The neighbor's dog is going to be lying in your backyard.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's all I would need too. Because we got stray cats. I don't know where the cats are from, but that's all I would need.
I don't mind you taking them out.
Someone's outdoor cat. See, I like the outdoor cats though, because they take care of the mice issues.
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying?
Underappreciated part of cats.
Mice sleeping on your bologna. Yeah, it'll be a problem. It'll be a problem. All right, you got
a
bucket list.
Sleep on my baloney.
Got a bucket list. All right, now imagine if you won $378 million Mega Millions jackpot. Taking a mega chance could mean making your wildest dreams a reality. After all, anything can happen in Jersey. Tweets are pouring in. I just had the same issue with the chipmunk.
I tried
peppermint,
it.
Essential
I did it.
Oil mixed with water. That drove
I tried
me
it.
Away. Yeah, didn't. Cayenne pepper, I'm being tweeted. It might be the answer.
Yeah, but what if this chipmunk's like spicy? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
Maybe
I'm not
going to
judge
that.
I'm not going to stereotype the chipmunk. Maybe this chipmunk is into Cajun.
Maybe it is. Sounds like I was
telling you right now
before I went to antifreeze, though.
I'm going to try to take a picture. I'm going to try to catch him in the act so you can see this. There's something in his eye. I'm telling you, this chipmunk is, he's playing for keeps, man.
All right. We'll see how this
works.
He's
out to embarrass me. What he's doing is he's trying to embarrass me in front of my kids. Because my kids, Milo, for some reason, thinks I'm a superhero, and I have like a secret superhero room.
He's a 5-year-old boy. Of course, he thinks you're a superhero.
But he thinks I'm a legit superhero, like that. I have a costume, and I have a secret room that I'm hiding from him. So, I notice him sometimes, like pressing the walls, trying to figure out if that's my secret.
Stop
room.
It! Come on!
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
Wait, Milo thinks there's secret rooms in your house that you are using to get ready with your superhero powers.
Exactly right.
Like,
yeah,
like the bookcase
would be
ruined. Is he pressing every ounce of the bookcase that he can?
Before the show, he was in where I'm doing the show, which I told you is like this was, I guess, the guy who lived here made it a library. And he's like staring at the bookcases. I'm like, so what are you doing?
He's nothing. He's going to find Scooby-Doo on the other side.
That's what he thinks he's doing.
Oh, my God. That's so good. All right, let's go. Here we go. Friday edition CMT.
Look at Santiago right with the music.
So good. He's ready. He's a pro.
Which, in fact, makes it a segment. All right, boys. So I'm actually, I hate to admit this because they keep stealing our guests, but you know how much I love Bart and Alan.
Yeah.
Love me some local meat. So we're looking for suggestions. And of course, I make none of my own decisions. Cassie does. And she saw the suggestion from the Bart and Han Twitter feed, which Anthony does. And he suggested music. Cassie loved it. So today on Friday, we are going with a music edition of CMT.
Music edition.
All right.
All right.
Very interesting.
So here we go. I'm going to start. There's going to be a lot of debate here, I'm telling you. Twitter will light up. I'm going to give you NSYNC, okay, the Backstreet Boys, and New Kids on the Block. Start with boy bands.
NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, New Kids on the Block. I got to be honest. The New Kids was the original, followed by Backstreet Boys, right?
Yeah.
And then you had Timberlake and
Timberlake NSYNC. Is NSYNC, yes?
NSYNC, yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna marry NSYNC.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I think of all the talent between these three boy bands, Timberlake is the most talented.
Mm-hmm.
And really has kind of gone out on his own in many aspects of, you know, acting and all that, music to provide himself a successful solo career. So I'm gonna marry NSYNC. And I'm not afraid to say it. I enjoyed moments of the Backstreet Boys. So I'm going to cuddle the Backstreet Boys.
Bombs and fallacious seeds.
And I'm going to trash New Kids on the Block.
Yeah, that's so weird, disrespectful, Dave.
Side dance moves. I didn't appreciate
that. The New Kids on the Block? Come on, man. They set the stage for boy bands. Come on, man. You can't do that.
They were a pioneer of
I'm with Canty. You can't trash New Kids.
Take it away. Go.
All right. Okay. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to marry NSYNC, so I'll agree with you on that one. And your logic was sound. Justin Timberlake by far is the most talented of any of the members in the three groups. So marry NSYNC.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
I'm going to cuddle up to New Kids on the Block, though, Dave.
Bombs and fallacious seeds.
Because they did kind of lay the groundwork for the other two, and then, you know, by default, I'm going to trash the Backstreet Boys. Don't take it personally.
Now, that was like Kevin Richardson was Backstreet Boys, right?
Nobody Backstreet knows. Boys, yeah, and then you had Nick Carter.
Nick Carter? Right.
So Nick was Nick
he had
the brother.
His brother's Aaron, right?
Aaron's the brother, yeah. Nick was in the band, yeah. I'm with Canty. I'm doing the exact same thing as Canty.
That's fine.
I can't trash New Kids. Can't do it.
No. Won't do it.
Donnie's got the Wahlburgers. He's got the TV show. He's married to Jenny McCarthy. I'd say he's doing pretty good.
He does. Okay? Is he on Blue Bloods as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, maybe in retrospect, I should have cuddled New Kids.
But it's a renaissance.
Maybe I should have.
All right, here we go.
What's done is done.
I'm going to give you Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, and Katy Perry.
Spears, Aguilera, Perry. Chris, you want to start this one?
Yeah, I'm down to start this one. I am, let's see here. I'm going to marry, Britney Spears.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
And I know this seems a little bit strange, but Britney Spears, I mean, when she was at peak Britney, I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find too many music artists that were at her level. So just by her sheer influence and in the direction that she took that genre of music, I got to marry Britney. I am going to cuddle Christina Aguilera because, quite frankly, I was probably a bigger fan
Bombs
of her music than I am of Katy Perry. So that's how I look at it. And unfortunately, going to throw Katy Perry in the trash.
This garbage! Wow. Look at this garbage!
See, I'm torn here. Because I agree with you that Britney Spears was probably the biggest star of all three.
Yes.
But I think you could argue that musically she might have been the lesser of all three.
That is also
vocally,
true.
Vocally, yes. That's correct. Yes.
I mean, Christina Aguilera has a beautiful, sensational voice.
Amazing voice.
And then Katy Perry is still incredibly relevant, being that her music is still, you know, continues, and she's part of American Idol as well, which kind of.
And she wants to hear you roar. Yeah, and this is a tough decision because
I got to be honest. I don't know that you can go wrong in any selection you have here.
But also take into account too, there is an element of crazy too. You need to bake into this how much
Britney's willing to deal with. Yeah,
Britney's
very crazy.
Extreme. I mean, she shaved her head at one point. Bald.
Yeah. I mean, this is all part of it. This has got to go into the mix.
But here's the thing: superstardom of all three, I think that goes to Britney. But there's no doubt that the biggest superstar of the three was Britney Spears. And for that, I will marry her.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Hi, guys. I'm in my gym right now. I haven't been in here for like 6 months because I burnt my gym down, unfortunately. I had two candles and, yeah, one thing led to another and I burned it down.
You couldn't have played that for me before.
What do you mean one thing led to another?
Yeah. You brought it up.
Have you ever said anything like that? I brought candles into a room and one thing led to another and, oh, the room is no longer standing? No!
You know, yada dee, yada do, gym burnt down.
It's like the Seinfeld, right? Yada, yes. Yada, yada.
Gym burnt down.
What do you mean? What does that mean? One thing led to another.
Oh, my goodness. It's too good.
All right, her inner left eye.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't.
Oh.
All right, but I'm still, I mean, I'm already married to Brittany.
Let's go. Tighten this up. Come on. Would you please?
Hate the divorce, sir. All right, I'm going to. On talent, I'm gonna cuddle Christina Aguilera, and
Bombs
I don't feel comfortable about it.
Lacious seeds.
But I will trash. I'm not gonna say trash. I will just not select Katy Perry.
Firmly. Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
Yeah, I disagree. I would cuddle Katy Perry. I would trash Christina. It's just me. Alright, here we go. This is an interesting one. I'm gonna go with Mariah, Whitney, or Celine Dion.
Mariah, Whitney, or Celine Dion. Alright, I'm going to marry Whitney.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Whitney was a superstar. Whitney was, I think, if not the most talented, right up there as far as the most talented.
Mm-hmm.
And she left us early, which made you want more from Whitney. So I will marry Whitney, and I think that might be the only answer. And now I'm torn, because in my mind, Celine Dion is clearly the better talent, but Mariah Carey... might be the biggest superstar. But
whoa,
Celine Dion does play Vegas nonstop. I will cuddle Celine Dion and I will trash
Bombs
Mariah Carey.
Wow. Wow, Dave Rockenberg, that is an interesting assessment in comparing Celine Dion and Mariah Carey. I don't know that any female vocalist has the range that Mariah has. But yeah, I'm going to marry Whitney.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Which I think is the only choice, right?
I think it's the only choice. Yeah. I mean, has anybody done the Star Spangled Banner before a sporting event better than Whitney?
No.
Carl Lewis,
yeah.
You guys are jerks. All right, so I'm marrying Whitney. I am going to cuddle Mariah because I think from a talent standpoint, her range, I mean, she doesn't always use it the best way, but... No, Mariah was special. Really, really special. And I'm going to trash Celine Dion.
Firmly. Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
All right, I would marry Whitney. I would cuddle Celine and I would trash Mariah as well. I'm with you, Dave. How about this one? Biggie, Tupac, or Snoop?
Biggie, Tupac, or Snoop. This is not easy.
You want
this
me to go first, easy. Dave?
Yeah.
This is easy. I mean,
this is easy for you.
In terms of the culture and being influential.
Marrying for me is easy. But after that, it becomes difficult. But go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I'm going to marry Tupac. I am going to cuddle Biggie. I'm going to trash Snoop. And I hate to do that to Uncle Snoop, but that's just what it is.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing as well. Marry Tupac, cuddle Biggie, and trash Snoop. But it pains me because Snoop is a big football guy. And I have to take that into account with my decision, but I will agree with you. Tupac, Biggie, Snoop, that order. Final answer.
Yeah, here's where I disagree. I'm marrying Biggie. I love Biggie. Tupac, Snoop is not easy, but also I'm throwing into the mix that Snoop does have some sort of, I can't define the relationship. I'm just in my mind, I'm trying to picture it with Martha Stewart. You know I have a crush on Martha Stewart, so I'm gonna cuddle Snoop.
Don't do it.
Really?
They were on the same,
Biggie?
Label at the same time.
No, and there I'm was marrying
no,
Biggie.
And there was
you're
no question
Tupac?
That Tupac was bigger than Snoop.
I can't help that. Listen, I can't help that Tupac doesn't have Martha Stewart.
Know.
Snoop has Martha Stewart. You know,
if Tupac would have been alive, he might have had a show with Martha Stewart.
That's
who knows?
Right. That's a good point. I think he's got more than a show with Martha Stewart. That's what I'm hoping.
All right, here we go. Exactly.
Billy Joel, Bon Jovi, or Bruce Springsteen?
Billy Joel, Bon Jovi, or Bruce. All right. I'm going to marry Billy Joel.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry
I'm a Long Island guy. He's a legend. He's still playing the Garden, or was up until this, obviously, every month, and said he'll do it until he can't sell it out, and that's nowhere to be in sight. So for me, it's easy. I'm gonna marry Billy Joel, and then I'm gonna cuddle Bruce. I mean, Bruce has stood the test of time. He's legendary. So I will marry Billy Joel. I will cuddle Bruce.
Bombs and hellacious.
And I feel okay with saying it. I will trash.
Firmly. Look at this garbage.
Well, boys, I gotta admit this. This is a little outside of my lane. I don't particularly get into this genre of music, but in the interest of playing the game, I am going to marry Bruce Springsteen.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
Because he's local. He's from New Jersey, right?
Yep. Yeah.
I can feel good about that.
So is Bon Jovi, I believe.
Yeah, and I was gonna cuddle up to Bon Jovi because Bon Jovi has an arena football team.
Bombs and
if I'm not mistaken.
Delicious seeds.
In Philadelphia. So I am going to go that direction, and I'm gonna trash Billy Joel.
Wow.
Firmly.
And he does have a perfectly coiffed bouffant too, Bon Jovi.
It's ideal.
Perfectly
yes.
coiffed. All right, here we go. I'm going to end this on this one. I mean, I have a couple. I'm loaded with them, but I'm going to end it with this one. I'm going to count on you guys to keep this thing tight because I got two I want to get to. So keep this tight.
All right.
We'll start with this one. I'm going to give you Jay-Z, Kanye, Eminem.
Jay-Z, Kanye, Eminem. Chris, go first. I'll do first the next time.
Oh, man. This is interesting. And I see what Rick did here. Because he's expecting me to go marry Jay-Z, but Jay-Z really didn't get to the height of his career until he had Kanye producing his records.
Ooh.
So I am going to, I know this is going to sound crazy, I am going to marry Kanye.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
I am going to cuddle Jay-Z.
Bombs and
Lacey. And I hate to do this because I think he was... And still might be one of the best lyricists in the game. But I'm going to trash Eminem. I just, his music to me wasn't my speed. But in terms of being able to freestyle and battle, there was nobody better. But I still got to trash him.
Trashing Rabbit. All right. This is not easy. You want me to go quickly? I will. But I'm not comfortable with this at all. I'm going to marry Jay-Z.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
I'm going to cuddle Eminem.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And I know it won't be popular, but I'm going to trash Kanye.
Firmly. Garbage. Look at this garbage.
These are all your own decisions. I mean, this is strictly your opinion, Dave. Yeah. We don't always agree. All right, here we go. Last one.
Oh, can I say last this? Can I make a little caveat on my last automatic trash? Yeah. I'm talking about Kanye pre-Kardashian.
Okay, so not crazy Kanye.
Pre-Kardashian Kanye.
Okay.
I just want to make that distinction.
No, that's understandable.
Hats.
Hats. Here we go. Last one.
Yep.
I'm going to give you Prince, Michael Jackson, or Beyonce.
All right, I'll go. And
keep this
and
professional too. Keep it professional.
Yeah, no, I'm going to marry Michael Jackson.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry him.
When you look at talent, unsurpassed, unmatched. I'm going to cuddle Prince, and I like her, but she's not the same as the other two. I'll trash Beyonce.
Firmly. Look at this garbage. Look at this garbage.
The beehive is the
yeah,
beehive
I'm scared,
is not going to be
I'm scared to do it with the beehive.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm just telling you. I'm scared to do it with the beehive. I'm with you, Dave. I think talent-wise, MJ is just on a whole nother level. Prince, even though I feel like it was his lane when he was at the height of his musical career was a little more niche, I still think in terms of his contribution to the culture, you got to cuddle up to him at the very least. And I am politely, respectfully
yes.
walking away from Beyonce.
And on top of it, Prince could make you pancakes. I would just like the beehive to know that was Dave Rothenberg and Chris Candy that trashed Beyonce.
I didn't trash her.
It was
I politely, respectfully walked away.
It was a very respectful trashing of Beyonce.
I'm going to marry and cuddle Beyonce. How's that?
Wow.
And there you go, boys. Prince. That is a Friday edition of CMT.
Beautiful. Oh, a terrific edition of CMT.
DiPietro, Catty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.